Coming up on Open Source with Tony Motley, producer and director Don Perry.
Even though it may be your family and your family photographs and your family stories, there are still things within your story that will resonate with my experience, or that would be a starting point for us to go into deeper dialogues around our common humanity. And that really is what Digital Diaspora and what Family Pictures USA is all about.
Don Perry is the CEO and executive producer of Digital Diaspora Family Reunion, LLC. Don Perry's Family Pictures USA television program uses unique visuals and strong storytelling to present powerful portraits of American families. Don Perry, welcome to Open Source with Tony Motley. How are you today, Don?
Tony, great to be with you. Thank you.
Let's talk about your experience, just background going into this. You've won a lot of awards. Script writing is one of the main areas. You've also been involved in marketing and finance. Do you consider yourself a writer first and foremost?
Yes, I do. Regardless of what the what my formal position or title was, I've had to write. You know, writing has been the one constant across all of those job descriptions. Even in finance, I was writing loan applications, or I was putting together financial presentations, or I was making an investment analysis. So you're writing, right? And you're telling a story. You use different instruments, different measurements, but you're still telling a story nonetheless. So going from finance to film to television, to me, was a fairly simple transition, because it was just telling stories, but with this different metrics or different tools. And I get to use my imagination a little bit more now than I did in working in banking or turnarounds. And so that makes it a little bit more fun. But it's still about telling a compelling story that moves your audience.
So when you think about your career in banking and finance and into what you're doing now, is the commonality, the storytelling, is that the thread that runs through all of that?
I think that's one of them. I think that is a strong one. But the biggest thread to me, what made the transitions easy for me, was the fact that it was all about putting pieces of a puzzle together. It was kind of the hunt for the pattern that underlay all of these different elements. And how do I bring them? How do I organize them in a way that creates a compelling story, that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, that achieves a particular objective, that gets people to do certain things, whether it's make that loan, make that investment, back that entrepreneur, or to cry with that protagonist, to cheer for that hero. It's all about bringing order to disparate elements, disparate threads, knitting them together, finding that pattern that will be able to tell a compelling story and move
on. I find when you work in different environments and different areas of business and in broadcast television, whatever, there's a certain personality goes with certain positions, kind of generally speaking. And so for someone like you that has really strong liberal arts skills, a storytelling capability, was it hard for you to fit into a finance group of people, or how was that for you?
Yes, I think coming out of college with a liberal arts background like that, it was hard to find that area that I was happy with, right? I had certain skills. I was a major in economics and finance, so there was a certain expectation that I would do well in analysis and things like that, and I did. But for me, it was kind of like, okay, I'm testing myself and said, well, I can do well at that. But that doesn't really move it for me. It doesn't do it for me. And then trying something else, trying to get a little bit more. So even as a finance person coming out of college, I had a lot of different iterations. So first I was an analyst, and that was fun. And I did that very well and I succeeded, but it didn't really excite me. And I saw, I like what those guys on the foreign exchange desk are doing. I want to be that. So I tried foreign exchange trading, and that was fun and exciting for a while. And then it was kind of like, well, that doesn't really do it for me either. And so I said, well, maybe being a commercial lender. So let me try the commercial lending side. So I tried that. That didn't really do it. But I succeeded at it, but it didn't really excite me. So it was really trying to find that thing that excited me, that really like, these are problems that are in search of solutions, and the process of finding those solutions really engages me. And it wasn't until I was in turnaround management, and in the turnaround management, I'm dealing with companies that are struggling. I fired a lot of people. I closed a lot of offices of companies. I would write fiction as a way to mentally decompress from those stresses. And in the course of doing that, there was a guy that I met sitting in a coffee shop one day, and we're talking, and he was a film person, and he was working on a film and had a problem in trying to connect some dots and make the film coherent. And I started giving him some why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? And he would try them, and we'd meet up again in the coffee shop and say, wow, that was great. What other ideas do you have? And over time, that friendship that we developed grew into kind of a collaboration. And when he put out his feature-length documentary, In Niacara, That's My Faith, which was about his journey finding the mythic face of Africa in Brazil, that intersected with his mother's journey and looking for Africa in Africa, and his grandfather's journey, looking for that Pan-African ideal. And it won a lot of awards, and that became my first writing credit. And I thought, that's exciting. That was fully engaging. That got all of the pieces of me really charged, and I like that. And so I left finance, I left turnaround consulting, and spent basically the last 15 years of my career has been focused on writing for documentaries, and now we're writing. We did the TV show, 3 episodes, and now we're looking at more episodes and going into both narrative television and feature film. So it really has been coming full circle to find that thing that really excites all of me, and that's kind of where we've come to now.
And I've had a similar experience. I found I was working in radio, and I took an internship in television, and I just did it because a friend kind of begged me to, and I just got tired of him asking me, so I did it. But I found out what television producers do, I fell in love with the idea. Like you said, it gave me a chance to use every skill that I had. And I liked that. I found that to be very energizing. So I get it. And, I didn't leave a finance career like you did, but I dropped everything else that I was doing to pursue that. So I get that. You know, you've talked about stories since we've been in this dialogue. And I'm in your mind, what makes a good story?
For me, telling stories, writing stories, it's kind of exploring the humanity of my characters. Whether they're fictional characters and I'm making a backstory for them, or they're real people that we're whose stories that we're telling, it's trying to touch on that fundamental essence of humanity. I think kind of gets lost in a lot of the quote stories that come out of certainly mainstream Hollywood. They tend to be more comic book archetypes than real people. And I'm definitely interested in the humanity of the characters. So I'm looking for the emotional raison d'etre. Why do you do the things that you do? What motivates you? What makes you go? Those are the elements that I think are fascinating to try to peel back the layers of. And it is like peeling the layers back of an onion. It's trying to get down to the fundamental core. Because the other thing I feel is that in the story of these people, there are elements that all of us resonate with. There are elements that we are that character too. And there's a piece of us that's like that. And it's just a question, I think, of teasing it back so that we can recognize ourselves in that other person's humanity and learn the lessons without having to live it like they are. So if I can do that, if I can put that down in a way that someone can resonate with, then I think we've successfully told that story and successfully engaged that audience so that they grow a little bit. I mean, it's a little bit like when I was a kid. I grew up in Los Angeles, California. It was a very, very middle class, tight knit. You know, there were only four of us, my mom and dad, my sister and myself. And I thought growing up, what a boring existence that was, right? We didn't do anything except, occasionally we'd go down to the beach and watch the airplanes fly off of LAX because you could do that. That was fun, right? We didn't travel except, we're going to go visit the relatives who live over in the West Adams area. Or we're going to go, if we went anywhere really big, it was, again, to visit relatives. Occasionally we'd go to Knott's Berry Farm or we'd go to Disneyland or Universal Studios. But we didn't really go anywhere. I'm reading all these books. I'm seeing all of this incredible living and life outside of this tight knit little family and this little middle class enclave. And they're living interesting lives. And I'm thinking, wow, I want to do that. I want to be that. I want to go there. And that's kind of what I want the story to do. I want story to take me out of my life and move me, take me to some other dimension that I can see myself in or put myself into.
That's fascinating. You are the executive producer and CEO of Digital Diaspora Family Reunion LLC. What is that and what does it do?
Okay, so Digital Diaspora is a production company, but it's also it's a traveling roadshow. We created it as the audience engagement or community engagement arm of a feature documentary that we were doing that was entitled Through a Lens Darkly, Black Photographers and the Emergence of a People. And that film looked at how African Americans use the camera as a tool for social change, going all the way back to the beginning of photography in America, when a man of color in New Orleans named Jules Leone brought the camera to New Orleans, all the way up to the post-civil rights era, when photography, African-American photographers were able to do more than just limit themselves to pure documentary, and they could take a little bit more artistic leap, coming out of the Black Arts Movement. And in order to make that film, one of the problems we had was finding images of Black people that were taken by them and were not necessarily of them. So there was a lot of images taken by white photographers of Black subjects that had a particular point of view. But we were looking for vernacular images. And so one of the things my partner Thomas Allen Harris did at a conference in Atlanta was he told people that about the film and that we're looking for images, and if you know, asked people if they had some to come to the hotel the next morning and share them. And the next morning, he had a line going all the way outside the ballroom with people bringing trunk loads of images to share. And so we did it there. We did it in Silver Spring, Maryland at a film festival. We did it at another philanthropy event in Philadelphia. And the next thing we knew, people were coming up to us and saying, hey, I want you to come to our town. I want you to come here. And we found ourselves in the roadshow business. And that became Digital Diaspora Family Reunion Roadshow. We did about 50 of those across the U.S. When a funder came to us and said, you know, this is a really great project. I mean, it brings people together to talk about their family photographs, and it kind of shows us in a way that we've not been seen before. You ought to make that into a TV show. And so we spent 2 years working on the idea of a television show. And in 2017, we shot a pilot in Detroit. And then in 2018, we got funding to put together three 1 hour episodes as a kind of a test season for PBS. And in 2019, it aired, and it continues to air on TV stations, the public TV stations all across the country. So that was our the Family Pictures USA was the evolution of the Digital Diaspora Roadshow into something that would be a little bit more open, that would involve everybody, that wouldn't be limited by any particular ethnic group or anything. Because it really was telling all of our stories, and it was valuing the idea that even though it may be your family and your family photographs and your family stories, there are still things within your story that will resonate with my experience, or that would be a starting point for us to go into deeper dialogues around our common humanity. And that really is what Digital Diaspora and what Family Pictures USA is all about. So the one is an event-driven kind of thing, and the other is the television show.
What has stuck with you, surprised you from this endeavor? What are some of the big takeaways that you can share with us?
I think the single biggest takeaway is that there is no experience that any one person has that is singular to them. They may think they're going through the worst possible thing, but I guarantee you there are other people who've been through it, and they have thrived and they have survived, and that there's nothing, you know, no one should ever feel that they're alone, because there are others who can add something to their overarching experience and who can help them because of their own particular lived history. So that there is nothing that anyone experiences where they're the only one, and from that I think the corollary is we really are all the same person underneath the skin. That
did you learn that from this process, or did this process confirm that for you?
It confirmed it. It absolutely confirmed it. I mean, yes, I think intellectually going into it, I may have had the idea that, okay, yes, intellectually, I understand this idea that race really doesn't exist, and that at the end of the day, there's more that unites us than not. That was an intellectual concept. When we actually go out into the field, you're starting to talk with people about, and I have to admit, okay, in all honesty, I'm not necessarily the most people person out there. I mean, I tend to be somewhat introverted and maybe even borderline. What's the word I'm looking for? It's
not antisocial.
I'm, Yeah, maybe that's it. A little antisocial. I will admit. Like, I can take or leave it.
Was that was that the thing that made it difficult? Did that make it challenging?
Well, that's why I tended to stay in the background, and I let Thomas and you know our other people get out into the front. I didn't have to be the front person for it. I could do all the, you know, being a producer, you're in the background all the time, and you just make sure that everything happens, right? You facilitate. So I could do that. But I will admit that having gone through now, we've done over 75 events in 70 plus cities on three continents. We've interviewed almost 5,000 people. We've done about 7,500 hours worth of videotape. We've got an archive of 50,000 plus images and stories that you, I mean, just unbelievable stories. And what I've learned about people, about history, about these different, you know, so we did a wonderful series in Detroit, and we learned things about Detroit that I don't think even most Detroiters knew. About some of the history and about some of the people, about some of the locations and how things got to be where they are or why they are. And all of that. I mean, I'm a history buff anyway, so that was really exciting to learn these incredible things. But also the people. It was like my little tight-knit family of four expanded by every single person that participated in our project and that became part of our Family Pictures family. And they touched us in ways that I didn't really appreciate necessarily when we started, but I certainly appreciate it as time went on. And now, when you, you know, given where the world is, you definitely appreciate the fact that it's not that big. We're really tight. We're really connected. And that, that there is this incredible thread that binds us all together in ways that people may not necessarily be aware of.
What was the biggest challenge to turn a road show into a television show? And it's different. It's not Antiques Roadshow. It's different. So what was your biggest challenge to turning that into TV?
I think it's the organizing principle is definitely the biggest challenge to go. Yeah, a television show is a lot more complicated in ways that a live event, which has its own complication, isn't. Do our live event, the road show, it's the only point that we had to kind of button up at the end. We had what we call as a grand finale event, where we would showcase to people some of the really great stories that we found in the course of being there over a week, and invited the audience to share with us. It was just kind of a big kumbaya. But television, you have to have a beginning, have to have a middle, have to have an end. You have to have a protagonist. You have to be able to follow a story, a character, and there has to be a narrative arc. A reason to go from one place to the next and then an overarching reason for the story at all. And so the real challenge in putting together Family Pictures of a television show was doing that, putting that television structure, that television story structure onto what had heretofore been a very spontaneous, event-driven kind of a project. And so part of the complication then is, well, whereas when we would do a live event, we would make a general call and we would just have come one, come all, and we would take all comers. With television, we had to have, I want to make sure I'm covering, because one of the things we try to do is show the diversity of a particular place and bring forward stories that you wouldn't necessarily otherwise hear or groups that you can see. So we had to make sure that, we're going into Southwest Florida. Let's make sure we're hitting all the different people that are there. So we got our Native Americans. We're getting the Latino community. And we have to get not just migrant workers, but we have to get educators as well. We have to show the diversity and the range of people across class, not just across the different ethnicities. To get Asian representation, to get African Americans, we need to get the pioneering families. So there was a lot of little checking off boxes to make sure that we're capturing a realistic portrait. And so we were a little bit more particular in terms of casting than we would have been as, quote, a live event. Then we had to make sure that we had, in a live event, we've got over 150 different participants. That's a little bit tough for television to follow, so we had to really get that down to, okay, here are the top five people, and we're going to follow them, and then we'll kind of interstitially show other voices that kind of play off some of the themes that are raised by those five people. But we had to narrow down the number of focal points so that it's more coherent on television than the way that the live event things work. So all of these are wonderful problems, and the problem-solving side of my mind was having a ball handling all of these things. It was like playing three-dimensional chess with all these different pieces running at you. And that was really fun story, making sure that you're telling a true story and giving people something to think about so that even if they were resident in that place, they could look at that episode and say, wow, it was informative as well as entertaining. And that, I think we did that. We had something on the order of 5.3 million viewers on the national broadcast, and it continues to get local play by the local PBS stations all around the country. In Los Angeles, it's going to be playing every Thursday, starting this Thursday. They'll be reprising the whole show.
So what's next? Are there going to be more of the Family Pictures programs? What's next for you?
So one of the things, as we look at the television landscape, we would love for there to be more episodes and to go to more places and to go around the world. But as a small production company, that's a little tough to do. We recently signed an agreement, a co-production deal with a larger production entity, and they're going to help us to produce a lot more episodes. And we were just about getting started with that when the world went on pause. Once we come on the other side of this, we're hoping that we'll be able to get back into production. Yes, there'll be more seasons of Family Pictures, and that we will be coming to a community near you as soon as the world allows. But in the meantime, we're being very active on social media. We're just about to launch a regular feature on Instagram TV that'll be Family Pictures oriented. And we're also going to be starting what we call the Family Pictures Challenge on Instagram and Twitter. It kind of encourages people to share their family images and their stories in a kind of a call and response to some of the content that we'll be putting out. So, for instance, the National Poetry Month, and we've got a number of participants that we've filmed who are either poets or who have had an inspirational story that was informed by poetry. And so we're putting some of that content out and asking people to share their moment, their memories or their images that kind of go along with those themes. And we'll be doing that right on up until the new broadcasts come.
So where can people find you on social media, Don?
So because I'm not a big social media guy, but we have people who do that. Familypicturesusa.com is our website. That's www.familypictures. The link to our Instagram, which is Family Pictures USA, Twitter, we have a Twitter account, Family Pictures USA, and Facebook. There's both a Facebook group as well as a Facebook page, and they'll be able to find links to all of that. There's a very active YouTube. We have a lot of content on YouTube, and if they go to our website, familypicturesusa.com, there'll be links that will take them to the YouTube channel as well. So we tried to make this blogs there, a lot more behind-the-scenes things from the shows, and there's a lot of great content of some of the really wonderful people that we've met over the course of now going on 12 years.
That's great. Okay, well, I really appreciate you giving us 30 minutes of your time. I mean, I know you're driving and it sounds like it's raining a little bit. So I really appreciate you fighting through all the weather and so on and so forth and sharing your information and your stories with us. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for inviting us to do that. And when your producer called, Kayla's young, I couldn't say no. So I'm very happy that we were able to share the time.
Well, I appreciate it. It's Don Perry, the executive producer of Digital Diaspora Family Reunion, Family Pictures television program, Family Pictures USA TV show. Don, thanks so much for being a guest on Open Source with Tony Motley. And that's it for this time. We'll talk to you guys next time. Thank you. Open Source with Tony Motley is a production of Duet Digital Media and McLaughlin Media.